Welcome on in to the Wasatch Basketball Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Now, I know it's been a while since our last episode, but I'm excited to get things going again and start recording on a more regular basis. Not making any promises on when stuff will come out, but I just want to let you know that we're going to start getting episodes out again. But coming back to this, we're starting off with a very, what I think is exciting and very fun episode. We're doing our first mock draft of the year for the 2024 NBA draft. Now, the way I'm doing this one, we're not doing any trades. The main focus of this episode is to talk about the teams, a little bit of how their season went, what their needs are, and then introduce you to the players that are going to be in this draft. Now, it was me taking these picks. Some guys are much higher on than the consensus. Some guys are much lower on. But for the most part, I just wanted to introduce you to the guys that are going to be in this draft and around-ish where they're going to be. So without any further ado, we'll get started with the Detroit Pistons at pick number one. Now, I did not do a simulated lottery. I just did straight off of standings. The actual lottery itself will happen May 12th. And then when that happens, we'll have a better, or we'll know exactly where everybody's going to be picking ahead of the draft. But Detroit has the first pick. Now, a lot of people have been saying that this draft does not have that true number one guy in this draft. And I disagree. I think there's not that normal, like, top three or four guys, but I think there's a clear cut number one guy in this draft. And I think no matter who you have on your roster, it'd be silly to pass on this guy. And so I have the Detroit Pistons taking Alexander Sarr, power forward slash center. He played in Australia this last year. He is 7'1", about 220, and he can move. Very fluid movement, very coordinated, has great timing on the defensive end. On the offensive end, has some dribble moves, can move around the floor real well. He's going to have to continue to improve his jump shot, but he's going to be barely 19 years old when the season starts this next year. And for this Detroit team, like, yeah, they have Jalen Duren at the center, but they were awful this year. They have the number one pick for a reason. I don't think there's really anybody on the roster that you should say we can't draft a guy that plays around the same position as them. And I think Sarr and Duren could eventually end up playing together anyway. So, with the first pick, that is Alexander Sarr to the Detroit Pistons. With the second pick, it's the Washington Wizards. The Wizards fully went into a rebuild this year. They let go of Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis, brought in a lot of picks, played a lot of young guys, played a lot of strange lineups this year. I think they're going to continue to move off of guys, especially like Kyle Kuzma this summer, and continue to try and get picks and move contending to further years. And so they're not in a rush right now to really find guys that can play for them right away, but I think they're looking for guys that can build this culture that it seems they're trying to build, which is athleticism, defense, hustle. And so I have them taking, with the second pick, Stephon Castle, point guard slash shooting guard out of UConn. Stephon Castle needs a lot of work on his jump shot, but he has an NBA body already. He's 6'6", 215, can defend basically 1 through 3 already. I bet as he continues to get stronger, could probably guard 4s in the NBA. I think he's going to be able to play defense in the NBA from day one. And the idea of him and Bilal Coulibaly together for the future it would be very exciting. They also have Denny Abdia, Corey Kispert still on that roster. They're still very much in the process of figuring out who's going to be part of the next Wizards team that pushes for the playoffs. But they have time, and I think Stephon Castle is a great fit for them here. With the third pick, I have the Charlotte Hornets. Or it's the Charlotte Hornets. The Hornets drafted Brandon Miller last year, and he did a really great job for them. He's, a 6'8 wing, more of a scorer. I think has good defensive potential. They have LaMelo Ball at point guard, but he can't seem to stay healthy. So they haven't really ever got to see what that team can be. And then Mark Williams has really emerged as a very good starting center in this league. Very good rim protector. The big question for them this summer is going to be, are they going to bring Miles Bridges back? Because if they do, and then maybe add some solid veterans through free agency, they could possibly make the playoffs this next year, especially if LaMelo Ball can stay healthy. But I have them taking a high upside play here, and a guy that I think would fit really well next to Brandon Miller and LaMelo Ball for the future. I have them taking Ron Holland, small forward, a shooting guard out of the G League Ignite program. He's about 6'7", 6'8", right around 200 pounds. Freak athlete. Very, very fast, long body, strong, needs work on his jump shot, but may have the most defensive potential out of anybody in this draft. I think for the Hornets, adding another guy that's long, can defend. They're building something that could be, a contending team for the future. As long as guys can stay healthy and they can develop and they can add the right pieces around these guys going into the future. With the fourth pick, it's the Portland Trailblazers. Trailblazers traded away Damian Lillard last year. They really cut the team down to their young guys. They brought in DeAndre Ayton and Robert Williams at center, but Robert Williams got hurt really early in the year, so they never got an opportunity to see how he looks. And then they were dealing with injuries all throughout the season, so they never really got a great chance to see how Scoot Henderson, Anfernee Simons, and Shaedon Sharpe all look on their roster. It seems like at least Anfernee Simons is a could be a big piece for them going into the future. Still not sure on Shaedon Sharpe and Scoot Henderson. Scoot Henderson had a rough rookie year, but he's just so athletic and showed so much in the G League that it's hard to think that he's not going to become at least a very good starter in this league. They still have Jeremy Grant around. I'm not sure what their plans are there. But I think for them, they want to avoid more redundancy at the guards. They don't need to add another young guy in the way of Scoot Henderson or Sharp. And so I have them taking small forward slash power forward Zachary Richichère out of France. He's always listed somewhere between 6'8 and 6'10. Very good spot up shooter, very good cutter. Has defensive potential. I just think he's also a guy he's gonna struggle his first couple years, I think, getting used to the NBA game. But I think his shooting is very real. I think he'll be able to be at least an average NBA shooter right off the jump. And the Trailblazers know that they're not in a position to really win anything, so they have time to develop a guy like Richichère. Moving on to the fifth pick is the San Antonio Spurs. Now, the Spurs, of course, last year they drafted Victor Wembanyama, and he is an absolute freak. 7'5", 220. But great instincts on the defensive end. Really changes the way the other team plays when he's on the floor, guarding the hoop. And then on the offensive end, you know, he can drain threes, he can dribble the ball. I mean, just an absolute freak. But they really struggle basically everywhere else alongside him. They tried playing Jeremy Sochan as their starting point guard at the beginning of the year, and then eventually Trey Jones took over. And I think that's the area that they really need to try and shore up. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't if they went out and added a veteran point guard as well. But here in the draft, I have them taking Nikola Topic, point guard out of Serbia. Topic, the easiest guy to compare him to would be Luka Doncic. Now I'm not saying Topic is going to be Doncic because Doncic is one of the top five guys in the NBA and will be for the next probably 10 years. But Topic, 6'6", a little over 200 pounds, great vision as a point guard. Not a crazy athlete, but like Doncic, he'll get the defender a little off balance and then be able to use his strength to hold the defender off and get himself all the way to the basket. He's got the little step back three that Doncic does. And I think he would just be a great pick for the Spurs here. As you try to find a good pairing for Wembanyama, and hopefully Devin Vassell can stay healthy, and you know you have a pretty good young core there with those three guys to build around. So next up with the sixth pick is the Toronto Raptors. The Raptors really changed their roster a ton this year. They sent Pascal Siakam to the Pacers. They sent OG Anunoby to the Knicks. And I'm expecting a lot more movement this next year. It looks like they've found a pretty good group to build around here with Scottie Barnes, RJ Barrett, and Emmanuel Quickley, along with Jakob Poeltl. But if I'm them, I'm still looking to add some more ball handling, some more scoring. And this guy I have them taking, he's not one of my favorites, but he does help in the areas that I think they need a lot of help in. And so I have them taking point guard slash shooting guard Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky. I keep thinking that Dillingham is going to be Bones Highland 2.0. He may be much better than him. He's the guy in the top 10 that I'm really the most worried about in this draft, but he may end up being a very, very good NBA player. He's just, you know, he's listed at 6'2", might only be 6'1". He's like 155 pounds. He's a small, small player. And guys like that really struggle in the NBA. But he's shown in college that he can really put the ball in the hoop. He has good court vision. And this is a guy that I think the Raptors would not be making a mistake by taking a chance on this guy. With the seventh pick is the Memphis Grizzlies. The Grizzlies had one of the craziest seasons I've ever seen in the NBA. They First of all, Ja Morant was suspended for the first 25 games. And they were doing horrible. He came back and they started winning a lot and looking really, really good. And then he got injured and was out for the rest of the year. They dealt with injuries all throughout the season. I think, I can't remember the exact number, but I think it's 43 different players played at least one game for the Grizzlies this year, which is absolutely ridiculous. You can only dress 15 people. To be on your bench every single night. So to go through 43 in an 82 game season is just ridiculous. But they do have three really good young players. And once they get healthy, they have some other surrounding pieces that I think they'll find themselves right back in the playoffs this year. With Jaren Jackson Jr., Ja Morant, and Desmond Bane. And then you add some of the young guys that they found this year, like GG Jackson and Vince Williams Jr. They brought in Marcus Smart last offseason. This is a team that could be in a very good position to make a deep playoff run this next year. Now, they did send away Steven Adams in a trade, and so I have them not just replacing him, but I think grabbing a guy that can has all-star potential, I think, at the start at the center position. As long as he can stay healthy, that'll be his biggest issue. But I have them taking Donovan Clingan, center out of UConn. Clingan is 7'2", 280 pounds. He is a shot blocking menace. On the offensive end, he can play a very modern game, can hit from mid range, can hit from the three. And I think as he continues to develop, they'll have him working more on shooting from range and opening up room for Jaren Jackson Jr. And I think the combination of Klingon and Triple J protecting the rim is a scary proposition for opposing teams. At eight, we have the Utah Jazz. Now, if you haven't listened to this much, you wouldn't know, but the Jazz are my team. And I'm really hoping that the Jazz in the lottery are able to move up higher. I would love for them to get Alex Sarr. But here at eight, I also don't think that the Jazz are going to take all three of their picks that they have. I don't see Danny Ainge bringing in three rookies, but like I said, we're not making trades in this lottery or in this mock draft. And so we're just taking the picks as they lay. One thing I wanted to bring up before I take this pick though is the NBA did change the rules for the draft this year. They're going to do the first round on one night, and then they're going to have a day off, well, 24 hours basically, and then they're going to do the second round the next night. And so we're going to see a ton of trades in between the first and the second round there. Because teams are just going to have so much time to make calls and figure out who's still available, who has what picks, and what they need to give up to get them. So that'll be really exciting. But anyway, back to the Jazz at eight. The Jazz had an interesting season this year. They were in the play-in fight all throughout the year up until the trade deadline. At the trade deadline, Danny Ainge sent away Kelly Olynyk and Ochai Agbaji to the Raptors, got back what is now the 29th pick in this draft. They sent away Simone Fontecchio and picked up what's the 32nd pick in this draft, along with some other assets. And then they dealt with some injury. They had a really young roster, and they fell apart. They lost a lot of games and ended up with the eighth worst record. But going forward, you look at their roster. Keontae George looks like he can be a starting guard in the NBA. Whether he's a point guard or not, who knows? Colin Sexton is a fantastic scorer, very, very efficient, and brings a lot of energy to the floor. Lauri Markkanen is right now is their star. They want to eventually find a number one so that Lowry can be their sidekick, basically. Walker Kessler is one of the best rim protectors in the NBA, but still has a long way to go on the offensive end. John Collins may have been their most consistent guy this year, but we also found out that he and Kessler cannot share the floor together. And then Taylor Hendricks is a guy that they drafted this last year. Still very, very raw, but he's going to be a fantastic athlete, great length. And so going forward, this team they can make a lot of different moves. They can move players, they can move draft picks. And so for them, I'm just looking high upside and I'm looking for positional size. And so the guy I have them taking here at 8 is Cody Williams, small forward slash shooting guard out of Colorado. Now Cody is Jalen Williams' younger brother, the guard for the Thunder. They're two very, very different players. Jalen is like 6'5", 220, very, very broad build. Cody is like 6'8", 180. He's long, lengthy, has very smooth movements on the offensive end. He's not super aggressive, and then has just good potential on the defensive end. Didn't show a ton at Colorado, but I think is a guy that can really be worked with and turned into a very good defender in the NBA. And so I have the Jazz taking him just as a pure upside play and as a guy that adds to the positional length that they're trying to build with that roster. At number 9 is the Houston Rockets. The Rockets added a lot of good veterans this summer. This last summer, brought in Fred VanVleet, almost made it into the play-in. Played very, very good down the stretch. Alperen Şengün has become one of the top 10 centers in the NBA this year. Jalen Green, towards the end of the year, really started taking over. Jabari Smith Jr. and Tari Eason look like they're at least role players for the future. And Amen Thompson is a freak athlete, very good defender. Not sure what he's going to be on the offensive end. And so I think that they're kind of close. They can still add younger guys, but I would not be surprised to see them trade this pick and add some more veterans or go star hunting even. But I have them taking a guy here that I think will fit their roster very well. Can kind of fill in the holes that they have. I have them taking Reed Sheppard, shooting guard slash point guard out of Kentucky. Reed is 6'3", so he's kind of an undersized 2, but he doesn't have the ball handling ability of a 1. So he may be an absolute perfect fit next to Amen Thompson, where Thompson can run the 1 on the offensive end and then can guard the 2 on the defensive end. Reed Sheppard's a guy that comes up with a lot of steals and gets blocks, but also seems to be a little bit of a liability on the defensive end. But I think there's enough with his shooting and his IQ that I think he's going to make it in the NBA. With the 10th pick is the Atlanta Hawks. Now the Hawks this summer, it sounds like either DeJounte Murray or Trae Young is going to get traded. After 2 years, it sounds like they've decided that that pairing does not work very well. And they need to move off of at least one of them and kind of reconfigure the roster. I think that they're not that far away from being a contending team. And so I had them taking a guy that I think can help right away, but also is still young enough to where, as you start to form this roster the way you want it, he can still be around and be a helpful player to them. So I had the Hawks taking shooting guards as small forward, Dalton Knecht out of Tennessee. Knecht is a guy that can just put the ball in the hoop. He can hit from 3 from mid-range. He can get to the bucket. He's 6'6". So he doesn't get destroyed on the defensive end, but he's not an amazing defender. Actually is very similar to a guy they already have on the roster, Bogdan Bogdanovic. But you bring in a guy like Knecht, and all of a sudden maybe Bogdanovic can be used in a trade to fill other holes that you that feel like more important needs for this roster. I expect the Hawks to make a few trades this summer. I don't think Clint Capella is going to be back. I think Bogdan Bogdanovic could be moved. And then, like I said, Trae Young or DeJounte Murray is going to be on the move as well. Next up is the Bulls. Now, the Bulls are, they're a frustrating team. They do not have the talent to compete, to really be a contender, yet they refuse to make any trades and pick up assets for the guys that they have. So basically here with them, I had them just taking a very high upside guy that can add some length to their roster. They really did not have many guys over like 6'7" this last year. And I'm hoping that they actually push in and do a rebuild, a start a rebuild this next year. Move off of some of the older pieces, some of the expensive pieces, and start building around Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, and that might be it for now. But I have them taking Matas Bouzelis, small forward slash power forward, out of the G League Ignite program. Matas is about 6'9", 6'10", very good defender, and shows a lot of flashes on the offensive end. Reminds me a ton of Franz Wagner, who plays for the Magic. But he's a guy that I think is just going to need a lot of time to really develop in the NBA. But again, like I said, the Bulls are not anywhere near being a contender, and so they should be able to give him the time to develop. At number 12 is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, the Thunder are the number one seed in the West right now. They are beating up on the Pelicans in the playoffs. They have a chance of being the team that makes it to the finals out of the West. But because they picked up so many draft picks, as they're building this roster, they have early picks this year. They have tons of picks going into the future. So it'll be interesting to see how Sam Presti decides to use these picks, trade them, move them with young players for stars potentially. But here I have them taking a guy that I think. So the Thunder's biggest weakness right now, I believe, is size and rebounding. Even the guys they have that are tall are very skinny, like Chet Holmgren. I'd love to see them add a guy like Jonas Valanciunas or Clint Capella this summer. But here in the draft, I have them taking a guy that I'm much higher on than the consensus. I think he could really be a great NBA player, and that is center Khalil Ware out of Indiana. Khalil is 7 feet tall, 7'1" maybe. He's a little on the skinnier side, 220-ish, but he can shoot. He can move very well. He's very agile, big man. I think would be a great fit with this Thunder team. He has a lot of the skill sets that they're looking for, and would be a fantastic backup to Chet Holmgren at the center position. At number 13 is the Sacramento Kings. Now, the Kings ended up not making the playoffs this year. I kind of expect them to make some bigger changes this offseason. Malik Monk will be a free agent. I kind of expect them to bring him back, but I would like to see them use Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter and maybe some draft picks in trades this summer to help solidify this roster. The guy I have them end up taking here in the draft is a guy that I think it'd be really good for him to learn from Domantas Sabonis, but I also think that he can be helpful this first year. He can add size to the team. He can also be your replacement for Trey Lyles if you decided to trade him away. But I have the Kings taking power forward slash center Tyler Smith out of the G League Ignite program. Tyler Smith is somewhere 6'10", 6'11". He's a lefty. He very smooth jump shot. He's athletic. He's a good rim protector. He's a guy that I think in a few years could be, a very good starter level big man in the league. Now, the final pick in the lottery belongs to the Portland Trailblazers. I had them taking Zachary Richichère, with the fourth pick. And with the 14th pick here, I have them taking somebody that's along the same lines, big wing forward type player, that has a lot of developing to do. Now, this guy has a lot more developing to do than Richichère, to be a starter level player in the league. But I'd also be very excited about this guy's potential. I have them taking power forward, so small forward, Tijan Salon, also out of France. Salon is about 6'9", 210. Crazy athlete, very good NBA body. His body kind of reminded me a lot of Obi Toppin, and so does his game at this point. But I think he has the potential to be a better shooter and a much better defender than Obi Toppin in the league, but it's gonna take a few years. But that is the end of the lottery. In the next segment, we will get into picks 15 through 30, and then we will finish with the second round. All right, we're back for the rest of the first round here in Mock Draft 1.0. At pick number 15 is the Miami Heat. The Miami Heat have what they call heat culture. And if you watch them throughout the years, there's certain type of guys that just fit perfectly with the Heat, what they like to do, what the coaching staff likes to do. And this guy I have them taking, I am very high on, and I would love to see him go higher up in the draft. I just don't know if he's going to. But I have the Heat taking point guard Devin Carter out of Providence. Devin is about 6'3", 200 pounds. He is a spark plug. He gets after it. He is a fighter. Very skilled as well. Has become a very good three-point shooter. He fights like no other on the defensive end. Just fits very, very well with what the Heat like to do. And would honestly would just be a perfect pickup for the Miami Heat. At 16 is the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, the Sixers are going into an offseason where there's going to be a lot of uncertainty. The only person that's going to be under contract is Joel Embiid. And Paul Reed could be, but I think his deal is going to end up being non-guaranteed for next year. Now, they're going to bring Tyrese Maxey back, but I think they're going to basically build the team that they want and then add him, so that they can maximize their cap space. And so with that, it's hard to draft for that. So I'm trying to look at what has been the needs around Embiid throughout his career, where have been the weak points, and can we shore some of those up in this draft? And so I have them taking power forward set center Kyle Filipowski out of Duke. I think Filipowski can be, a 10 to 15 minute a night backup center to Joel Embiid, and could potentially work right alongside him as the power forward going into the future. Filipowski, 7 feet tall, 240. He's very much a center version of Lauri Markkanen. They have very similar skill sets. It's just he doesn't move the same way that Lauri Markkanen does. He moves much more like a center. He's much more stiff, very good down in the post. And so I think Filipowski would be a great fit for the 76ers here, a great fit right alongside Joel Embiid, and a guy that adds basically some insurance for when Embiid gets hurt, because We know through watching throughout his career, Embiid's not going to play 82 games. He may play the 65 games. That's the cutoff for awards. He didn't this year. But we know he's going to deal with injuries. And so you want to get guys that can fill in for him, which Paul Reed did a good job this year. But they need more size, more versatility in that position, I believe. With the 17th pick is the Los Angeles Lakers. Now, the Pelicans have the opportunity to take this pick if they want it. But it sounds like the Pelicans are going to defer to next year and take the Lakers pick next season, which is a good idea because next year's draft looks like it's going to be a stronger draft. And LeBron's going to be only a year older. You know, the Lakers could completely fall apart and all of a sudden the Pelicans end up with a top five pick that they weren't expecting. But anyway, so here at 17 with the Lakers, I have them taking a guy that may be the most polarizing guy in this draft. There's people that think he should go top five. There's people that think he should be in the bottom of the second round. I like this guy, though. And I think this is a good range for him. I have the Lakers taking Zach Edey, center out of Purdue. He's been the college player of the season the last 2 years. He's 7'4", 300 pounds. He is a monster. And he keeps getting better each year at Purdue. Keeps getting in better shape, adding more skills. And I think would be a great backup to Anthony Davis. And I think you could play the two together for small little spurts throughout the game to allow Anthony Davis to not have to play center all the minutes that he's playing. And Anthony Davis, like Joel Embiid, is a guy that's going to deal with injuries throughout the year. He did better this year than he has in the past. But you know, as the Lakers, you know that you're going to be missing Anthony Davis for a few games throughout the year. And having the luxury of throwing a guy like Zach Edey out there as the fill-in starter would be, again, it'd be a luxury. Now, I don't see Zach Edey ever becoming like an all-star level player or like a high-level starter. But as a very, very good backup center, a guy that can basically split the minutes with another center, I think he's a guy that belongs in the NBA and can do a very good job at that. With the 18th pick is the Orlando Magic. The Magic right now are in a fight with the Cavaliers in the 4-5 playoff series. The Magic have two really good young players. Franz Wagner looks like he is going to just be a very solid role player in the NBA for a long, long time. A very good, probably third or fourth option. Paolo Banchero, though, is looking like he can be a star in this league. He could be a Giannis Antetokounmpo type player. I mean, he's only 21 and just dominated this season. Became even better on the defensive end. I am very, very excited about what Paolo Banchero can be. Jalen Suggs showed a lot on the defensive end this year and has shown that he can be a starting guard in the NBA. The area where they really need help is with shooting on the wing. Guys that can fit around their two star players there. There's not any amazing options here. So I think the best option for them with this pick is shooting guard / small forward Jacoby Walter out of Baylor. Walter has a very good looking shot. It didn't go in a ton this year at Baylor, but was a star in high school. And I think just needs to be in the right environment. Some people are way higher than me. Have him top 10. But I think this is a appropriate range for him. I think he's a guy that can probably have like a Gary Trent Jr. type career, where they can start, but having them as a six man is a much better position for you, and and all of a sudden your six man becomes a strength. Your bench becomes a strength. But again, I just think he fits what the Magic need to be adding to this roster. With the 19th pick is the Raptors again. With the sixth pick, I had them taking Rob Dillingham to add another guard next to Emmanuel Quickley, that can score, that can run the offense. Here I have them taking a very high upside play. This is a very high risk, well, probably medium risk, very high reward type pick. Yusai Majiri is from Africa. He likes to give these guys from Africa a chance to really develop into players, and that's what he did with a guy like Pascal Siakam. So I have him doing the same thing again, which the NBA now has their Africa Academy. This is where this guy comes from. But I have them taking center slash power forward Ulrich Chomch Chom Chomachi. Something like that. Anyway, he's about 6'10", 6'11", and reminds me a ton of Serge Ibaka. Guy that can hit threes, can finish pick and rolls on the lob, can block a lot of shots, but he's very, very raw, and it's hard to gauge the level of competition that he was going up against with the other Africa Academy teams. But he's a guy that, like I said, you bring him in, you give him years to develop, you may end up getting a star out of it. But he also may just never be good enough to make it in the NBA. But with the 19th pick, I think you can afford to take a risk here, especially with how good the Raptors look like they can be next season, building upon what they have right now. And having guys like Jakob Poeltl and Kelly Olynyk already in place, there's no rush for Ulrich to play right away. At pick number 20 is the Cleveland Cavaliers. The big storyline with the Cavs this year is there's a very high possibility that Donovan Mitchell asks out, that they end up trading him away. They would still have Darius Garland, Jared Allen, and Evan Mobley as a very solid foundation to build this team around. Now, this late in the draft, I just don't think that there's any guys that can be a Donovan Mitchell replacement. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is one of the top 30 guys in the entire NBA. So I have them taking a guy that I think can help carry a little bit of the load that they're going to be missing with Donovan. So I have them taking Terrence Shannon Jr., shooting guard slash point guard out of Indy or Illinois. Terrence is, I think, a fourth or might be a fifth year senior this year. He's an older guy. Very solid scorer, very good defender. 6'6", 6'7", so he brings a lot more size than what Donovan Mitchell would bring to the team. I think he can play some minutes at the three as well. But I think adding him along with maybe, or along with whatever you can get back in trade, I think you can fill a little bit of the hole you're going to be losing with trading away Donovan Mitchell. That's of course assuming that they're going to be trading him away. If they do keep him, Terrence Shannon Jr. is just a very good depth piece that can play the three guard position basically for them. At 21 is the Pelicans. Now the Pelicans, they could be looking at center here, with Jonas Valanciunas being a free agent. I kind of feel like they're going to bring him back. So instead, I have them looking here to add some more ball handling, some more true point guards to this roster, and some size as well. And so I have them taking Isaiah Collier, point guard slash shooting guard out of USC. Now, Collier is a guy that at the beginning of this season, a lot of people had as their number one pick in this draft. I never saw that out of him, but I do like Isaiah Collier. He's like 6'4", 215. Body-wise, he looks a lot like Anthony Edwards. He's very athletic, physical. He's not as athletic as a guy like Anthony Edwards. But I think Collier in the right environment could be a very good backup point guard for a few years and then hopefully develop into a starting level point guard, especially for a team like the Pelicans if they ever decide to move on from CJ McCollum or as McCollum continues to get older. At 22 is the Suns, and this is their only pick in the draft. They would have had a second rounder, but they forfeited it with their tampering charge for going out and signing or talking to Drew Eubanks way before teams are allowed to. So this is their only chance here in the draft, unless of course they make other trades. But this is their only chance so far to make an addition to this team. And they're going to be looking for a guy that can come in right away and be helpful to the team, play a role, play a few minutes, and help out because this team is very, very expensive and it's hard for them to add to this roster. And so through the draft, that gets them a guy that can hopefully help right away and is on a cheaper contract. So I have them taking small forward slash power forward Tristan Da Silva out of Colorado. Tristan is about 6'9", 200, 210, I would say. Very smooth player. He's not a great athlete, but he can shoot, he can pass. He's just a guy that can go out there and be a really good connective piece for a team like the Suns. I don't want to see Da Silva get picked by a team that's like rebuilding. I think he'd fit really well with teams like the Suns, the Bucks, the Knicks, the Celtics, the Nuggets, any of these teams that are looking to contend right away. With the 23rd pick is the Milwaukee Bucks. The Bucks have had a rough year. They hired Adrian Griffin to be their coach. Halfway through the year, they fired him. They ended up hiring Doc Rivers, and it seems like he's not working out too well, which in another episode I could tell you my opinion on Doc Rivers, but we'll move on. You have the guy who I think is the best player in the entire league, Giannis Antetokounmpo, on that team. You have a great point guard in Damian Lillard, but you have aging role players around them in Brooke Lopez and Chris Middleton. They're very expensive, and they struggle on the defensive end, and they don't have that many guys other than Damian Lillard to handle the ball. And so I have them adding some size, some defensive ability, and some ball handling here with this pick. I have them taking point guard, so shooting guard AJ Mitchell. He played for UC Santa Barbara. 6'5", 200-pound guard. Plays very physically. Has a good jump shot. He is one of my favorite players in this draft. Him and Devin Carter are two of my favorite players in this entire draft. I think AJ Mitchell is a guy that can immediately get some minutes with this Bucks team and can help fill some of the holes that they had this last year. The next two picks belong to the Knicks. The problem with drafting for the Knicks is you have to pick guys that Tom Thibodeau will actually play. If you don't play defense, he doesn't care how good on offense you are. He's just not going to play you. With the 24th pick, I have the Knicks taking center slash power forward Daron Holmes out of Dayton. Daron is a skinnier center, About 6'10", 220 maybe probably 210. But he can hit from three. He can pass the ball. He can hit from mid-range. He's athletic. He's a smart defender. He's a guy that I think would be a really good fit for the Knicks as a backup center, especially because this summer Isaiah Hartenstein is going to be a free agent. So I think the Knicks are basically at the point where they have to decide, are we going to go forward with Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson as our starting center? Because I don't think you can afford both anymore. I think Hartenstein's going to require a much bigger contract this summer than the $9 million that they are paying him this year. So I like Daron Holmes to back up either Mitchell Robinson or Hartenstein, whichever one they hold on to going into the future. And then with the 25th pick, I have the Knicks again taking Ryan Dunn, small forward slash power forward out of Virginia. Now Dunn, he can't shoot. He needs a lot of work on the jump shot. But he can score around the basket. But the reason you take a guy like Ryan Dunn is he is the best defender in this draft. He is amazing on the defensive end. And I think his top potential may be Matisse Thybulle. But Matisse Thybulle is a guy that plays regular minutes for the Trailblazers. He's making $11 million a year. And Ryan Dunn is 3 inches taller than him. And so give me 6'8" Matisse Thybulle for with the 25th pick. I definitely would take that. And I think he's a guy that Tom Thibodeau will love. Moving on to the 26th pick is the Wizards. With the second pick, I had them taking Stephon Castle, the point guard, so shooting guard out of UConn. This is a team that, like I said, they have a lot of wings on this team. Bilal Coulibaly, Corey Kispert, Denny Avdia. They're thin at center and they're thin at point guard, and that's why I had them adding Castle. And that's why here at 26, I have them take them taking Yves Missi out of Baylor. He's a center, power forward. On the offensive end, he's very much just a play finisher, lob threat type guy. On the defensive end, he's a rim protector, but he also can guard out in space. I think on the defensive end, he has the potential to be very much like Bam Adebayo. And Bam Adebayo is in the Defensive Player of the Year discussions every single year. On the offensive end, I don't see Yves Missi becoming much more than a play finisher. But if you get a that, which to me is a very, very good backup center, or just a solid starting center, if you can get that at the 26th pick, you've done a good job. At pick 27 is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Timberwolves are the second seed in the playoffs right now, or the third seed in the playoffs right now. They're playing against the Suns. They're up 2-0 against them. They're a team that's going to be very expensive going into the future, paying Rudy Gobert, Jaden McDaniels, Karl-Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards. They did get Mike Conley signed to an extension at a much lower rate. But they're a team that, like the Suns, need to find guys that can contribute through the draft and later in the draft too, that are, much more price controlled and can help them going into the future. And I have them taking point guard Tyler Kolek out of Marquette. Tyler Kolek is about 6'3". He is a fighter. He talks a lot of trash. He gets in guys' faces. He'll play defense 94 feet. He absolutely just gets after it. He's a good passer. He's a good floor general. So I think he'd be a great backup point guard to Mike Conley, and then eventually, hopefully, could take over for Conley as the starting point guard in going into the future. At pick 28, I have the Nuggets. Before I go any further, just so you know, I bring up the positives and the negatives about these guys. about 60% of this first round is going to be actual NBA players. They're going to make it past, 4 or 5 years in the league. They're going to have a role. There's guys that are they're just not going to make it. That's just the way it is every single year. You just have to do all the research that you can and hope that guys work out. But anyway, at pick 28, it's the Nuggets. The Nuggets have an amazing starting five with Jokic, Jamal Murray, Caldwell Pope, Aaron Gordon, and Michael Porter Jr. Their bench struggles, and that's just because there's just no money left over for the bench. And so that's where these late first round picks, second round picks, is where they tried to solidify this team. And they've gotten guys like Christian Brown and Peyton Watson, Julian Strother out of it. And that's just the way they have to build the team, to be able to afford their team. And so I have them taking a guy here that is maybe not quite ready yet to be a contributor to them, but I think with a couple years of development, could be a very, very good player for them, and a very good player for them on their bench. I have them taking Keyshawn George, shooting guard slash small forward out of Miami. Now, George is 6'8", about 205. He's not a great athlete. That's what's going to hold him back in the NBA, is he just is not very explosive, but he can shoot, he can pass, he has great defensive potential at 6'8". And so for a team like the Nuggets, with this pick, I'm either looking like backup center, or I'm looking for a guy that has maybe some higher upside going into the future, but also gives us good positional size. And so I think Keyshawn George is probably the best fit for them at this point in the draft. With pick 29, the Jazz are up again. To remind you, they took Cody Williams, small forward slash shooting guard out of Colorado with pick 8. And here at 29, I have them again looking positional size, looking for guys that can defend, and still have a lot of room to grow as players. I have them taking point guards as shooting guard Carlton Bub Carrington. He's a lot of people just call him Bub, out of Pittsburgh. Yeah, out of Pittsburgh. Is that right? Believe so. Anyway, Bub is 6'5". He can score. He needs a little bit more work being like the floor general, running the offense. Good defender, but just a guy that with his size and athletic ability, I think is worth taking a risk on. And as I said before, I don't think the Jazz are going to take all three of these picks, but if they did, I think Bub would be a really good pick for them here at 29. Finally, the last pick of the first round is the Celtics. The Celtics seem to be the favorite to win the title this year. They have a great team. And the East is very wide open for them to make a run through it. They're another team like the Nuggets are always going to be looking for guys that are cheap that can contribute off the bench to help their very, very expensive starting five. And so here at 30, I have them taking power forwards as center Coleman Hawkins out of Illinois. Coleman, I think would do. It'd be really good for him to learn from Al Horford. I think that's the guy that his game's the most similar to, where they're a little undersized at center, but they know how to position themselves. They give great effort, very, very smart, and so they do a very good job on the defensive end and on the offensive end. Coleman Hawkins can space the floor. He can play in the pick and roll. He's just a very smart player and really fits what the Celtics have put together with their roster there. And so with that ends the first round. We'll probably move a little bit quicker through the second round, and that'll be it for this episode. Like I said, we're finally getting back to making episodes. So start looking out for them. They're going to be coming out a lot more often than what they have been. But again, thank you for listening, and we'll get heading on into the second round. All right, we are on to the second round now of the 2024 mock draft 1.0. Like I said, we'll be moving a little bit quicker here. And as I said before, the second round is on a separate day from round one. And so the order of these or who has these picks and all that, I would expect a lot more change to happen. I expect a lot of trades to happen before the second round actually takes place in real life. Anyway, at 31, the Raptors, earlier they took Rob Dillingham and Oruç Çamçı. Here I have them taking another kind of a project, but great length, guy that can shoot the ball. I have them taking small forward slash power forward, Bobby Klintman, who's been playing in Australia this year, was playing at Wake Forest last year. I think he's originally from Sweden, but he's 6'9", 6'10", can space the floor, decent athlete, good defender, very raw still. And I think the Raptors would be a place where he can learn, he can develop, and there's not a rush for him to contribute right away. At 32 is the Jazz. At 29 they took Bob Carrington. At 8 they took Cody Williams. Here, as I said before, they figured out that John Collins and Walker Kessler really can't play together that well. The Jazz look like they're going to be making a lot of trades this summer, and I kind of would be expecting one of those guys to get moved on, most likely John Collins. And so you're going to be looking for a cheap backup center. And the guy that I really like for them here at 32 is Oso Igodaro, center slash power forward out of Marquette. Very, very smart player. He's not a freak athlete, but he can shoot, he can pass, he can defend. And the reason he's so good at defense is he has very high basketball IQ. Has good length. He's 6'10", 6'11", somewhere in there, 240 pounds. I think just could be a very solid backup center for a long time in the league. At 33 is the Bucks. Earlier, the Bucks at 23, I had them taking AJ Mitchell, guard out of Providence. Here at 33, again, I'm looking for a guy that can come in and play some minutes for them right away because they need cheap contributors. And so I have them taking Jalen Tyson, shooting guard slash small forward out of Cal. He's 6'7", 215, can really put the ball in the hoop. Is a decent defender, is a guy that can immediately compete for minutes on the wing with guys like Beauchamp and Andre Jackson Jr. On to 34 is the Trailblazers again. I had them taking Zachary Richesche at pick 4 and Tijon Salon at pick 14. So they've filled out their wing depth here. I kind of believe that they're going to move on from either DeAndre Ayton or Robert Williams this summer. There's just no reason to be paying $50 million for two centers. And so I have them taking another center here to be a backup to whichever one is left over after the summer. So I have them taking Adem Bona, center out of UCLA. Bona is a freak athlete. He's only about 6'9", maybe only 6'8", but he just flies around and gets after it and is just a monster. On the pick and roll, on the defensive end. Again, he just flies around, can jump, super high. And I think with some time and some coaching could be a very, very solid backup center in the NBA. Pick number 35 belongs to the Spurs, and I had them taking Nikola Topic with their first pick, which was pick 5, to add their future starting point guard. Here at 35, I'm looking for positional length and potential, and so I have them taking Johnny Furphy, small forward slash shooting guard out of Kansas. Furphy is a 6'9" wing. He's going to need a lot of time to really develop and figure out what he can be in this league. But for a team like the Spurs that has a lot of guys at like 6'5 and 6'4, bringing in a guy at 6'9 that can handle the ball, that can shoot a little bit, will be a good change of pace to this roster. At 36 is the Pacers. And let's see here. So this is their first pick in this draft. They have two more second-round picks coming up later. The Pacers are a very fun team. They move the ball really fast. They put up a lot of points. They really need to look to add more defense. But later on here in this draft, there's really not the defenders. Unless they're only a defender, they can't really do much on the offensive end. And so I have them kind of just adding more versatility and more shooting in this draft, and then look for to add more defense through free agency. But here with the 36th pick, I have the Pacers taking Jared McCain, point guard slash shooting guard out of Duke. Great, great shooter. At this point, he's really just, he's a combo guard that can shoot the heck out of the ball. He can run the offense a little bit, but I think would be a good pairing right next to Tyrese Haliburton, because, again, he just doesn't need the ball in his hands. He can shoot the ball, lights out of the ball, and that's the type of guy you need next to Tyrese Haliburton. At 37 is the Timberwolves, and like I said earlier, you're looking for cheap contributors that can help this team out right away. They added Tyler Kolek as a backup point guard earlier, and here they're adding a backup wing in Kevin McCullough Jr., small forward slash shooting guard out of Kansas. This is just a do-it-all guy, averaged 22 points a game this year, I think 6 boards, 4 assists, plays solid defense. He's just a solid role player in the NBA. He's a little bit of an older guy, but that's really what the Timberwolves need. They need guys that are cheap, that can contribute right away. They don't need projects on this team. At pick 38 is the Knicks. Earlier, I had them taking Daron Holmes and Ryan Dunn. Here, I have them adding a little bit more guard depth and a guy that I think just fits what they do really well. I have them taking shooting guard slash point guard Trey Alexander out of Creighton. Trey is a 6'4", kind of an undersized combo guard, but I think would fit really well into the Dante DiVincenzo, Josh Hart role that they have on that team that Tom Thibodeau likes to deploy. He likes to have a lot of guys on the floor that are going to hustle, they're going to play tough on defense, that can pass the ball, that can shoot. So Trey Alexander, I think his best fit in the league may be the Knicks. At pick 39 is the Grizzlies. I had them taking Donovan Clingan earlier in the draft. And here I have them taking shooting guard slash small forward Cam Jones out of Marquette. Cam can put the ball in the hoop, and he has an NBA body. He's 6'5", probably 210, physical player. Again, can really shoot the lights out of the ball. Can score from anywhere on the floor, and I think has the potential to be a very good defender in the league. But here at 39, you're just looking for guys that can hopefully fill a role if there's injuries that happen. Guys this late in the draft and later, I would expect to spend a lot of time in the G League. And Cam Jones is a guy that could average 30 points a game in the G League, I believe. Here at 40 is the Trailblazers. I had them taking Zachary Richiche, Tijon Salon, and Ndambona earlier. So they've filled out the wing position. They've added a backup center. And so now I think it's okay to add a guard, and I'm looking for defense here. And the best defensive guard in this draft, especially that's left, is Jamal Shedd out of Houston. He's a smaller guy, 6'1", thick by probably 200 pounds, 6'1", 200 pounds. Very feisty defender. And is one of the, probably the best offensive option at Houston right now. I think he's just a guy that can give you some solid minutes behind Scoot Henderson as you go forward with this roster. And can help slow down the other team's best scorer off the bench. At 41 here is the 76ers again. I had them taking Kyle Filipowski earlier. Again, they're looking for guys that can help fill holes that they have had in the past with Joel Embiid on the roster. And so here at 41, I have them taking small forward slash power forward Dylan Jones out of Weber State. 6'6", probably close to 240. Can really score. Is a great rebounder as well. He's not going to have the ball in his hands all the time in the NBA. So he's going to have to learn how to play a role. But another guy that can go out there and get a bucket when they're triple teaming Joel Embiid is really what the 76ers need, and Dylan Jones fits that bill very well. At 42 here is the Hornets again. Earlier they took Ron Holland with their first pick and with the third pick in the draft. And here I have them taking another G League Ignite guy. I have them taking power forward slash center Ezan Almansa. Almansa is a guy that needs time. He's not going to be ready right away as a rookie. But if you give him a couple years in the G League and some time in the NBA to really develop time with the coaches, you may have a really special center here. He's 6'11", he's long, he's athletic, he can shoot a little bit, he can defend, just needs time. And that goes same for this guy here at 43 for the Miami Heat. The Heat earlier took Devin Carter. Here at 43, I have them taking power forward slash center Trayvon Brazil out of Arkansas. Again, 6'9", 6'10", athletic, can shoot. Just, again, needs time in development. At 44 here is the Rockets. Earlier, I had them taking Reed Sheppard out of Kentucky. Here, I have them taking another guy that kind of just helps fill a hole that they have, that they don't have any other guys that have this same skill set. So here I have the Rockets taking PJ Hall, power forward slash center out of Clemson. He's a very good screen setter. He's a good pick and roll player. He's can hit from three, can hit from mid range. He's a solid defender. He's another guy though that I think is probably gonna be dominant in the G League his first couple years before we ever really see him get a lot of time in the NBA. At 45 is the Kings. Kings earlier had them taking Tyler Smith out of the G League. And, yep, this is their last pick in this draft. I have them taking small forward slash power forward Harrison Ingram out of North Carolina. Ingram, 6'7", 235. Bowling ball type player, plays very physically, can shoot the ball. He's a very good passer. He's a decent defender. He's just another guy that can add some depth to this Kings team, add some size. They play a lot of guys, like the Spurs, they play a lot of guys that are 6'3", 6'4". So adding a guy that's 6'7" with some bulk would be very good for their roster going forward. At 46 is the Clippers. Is this their only pick? Yeah, this is the Clippers' only pick in this draft. Of course, right now, as things sit. And so for them, I'm thinking potential. I would like to add a guy that could help a little bit in the next couple years, but I'm thinking of, in the future when maybe Kawhi and Paul George and all these guys are gone. Could this guy develop into a starter level player? And so at 46 here, I have them taking small forward slash shooting guard Justin Edwards out of Kentucky. Edwards is a 6'8", left-handed wing, very, very smooth jump shot. He has one of those shots that always look like it's going to go in. Has good length, decent athleticism, and would be a guy that, again, like I said, could help a little bit these next couple years, but I think is a project for future teams, basically. At 47 is the Magic. Earlier, I had them taking Jacoby Walter. With this pick, I have them doing what the Magic do, which is take guys with insane length and athleticism and going, can we teach them to be really good basketball players? And so I have them taking Bobba Miller, small forward slash power forward out of Florida. Bobba Miller is like 6'11", maybe 200 pounds. Very good athlete, very good shooter. Can move really well, just needs a lot of time. But could be very much like Jonathan Isaac, who is now one of the best defenders in the league for them. He dealt with a lot of injuries, so it slowed down his development, but they gave him time and he became a very, very reliable player for them, or a player that can do a lot of different things for them. And I think Bobba Miller has that same type of potential. At 48 is the Spurs again. At 35, they took Johnny Furphy. Tad is a big wing. At 5, they added Nikola Topic to add a future point guard. Here at center, I'm just looking for, or here at 48, I'm looking for some size, a smart player that can maybe push their way into the rotation this year. I have them taking center Johnny Broome out of Auburn. Johnny is a very good college player. Close to 20 points a game, 8 boards, plays solid defense. He likes to play down in the post. He's going to have to figure out how to be less of a post-up player in the NBA and more of a pick and roll, shooting from mid-range, because that's just the way the NBA is now. But I think it's a solid pick here as a backup center at pick 48. The next two picks belong to the Pacers. This next pick, I think, is a draft and stash. This is a guy that you're going to keep over in Europe for a year or two, let him develop, and hopefully he can come over and be a very good player for you. I have them taking small forwards, a shooting guard, Pacome Dadiate. 6'7" ish, good athlete, good shooter, just needs more time. And so the plan would be leave him over in Europe for a couple years and then bring him over and sign him to that, rookie 4-year deal at that point. At pick 50, again, is the Pacers. I have them taking small forward slash power forward Alex Caravan out of UConn. This guy can shoot. He's a very good team player. He has good length to where he's not going to get destroyed on the defensive end. It can hopefully fill in the hole that you're going to be missing with Doug McDermott leaving this summer in free agency. At 51 is the Washington Wizards. They took Stephen Castle or Stephon Castle earlier at 2 and Yves Missi earlier at 26. And so here I have them. I know I brought it up earlier. They already have a lot of wings that they're developing. But I'm going to add another to that collection just because I really don't think that you can ever have too many guys that are 6'5", 6'6", and taller that can handle the ball, that can shoot. And so here at 51, I have them taking Pel Larsen, shooting guard slash small forward out of Arizona. He is very much just a Swiss Army knife type player. He can shoot, but he's not an elite shooter. He can handle the ball. He's not an elite ball handler. He's a smart player, plays very well in the, as a team. Very good cutter, knows when to cut and gets himself open, and is solid on the defensive end. Here at 52 is the Warriors. Excuse me. This is their only pick in the draft right now. And so I think there's going to be a lot of change happening with the Warriors this summer. They could completely move off of their big three that they've had for years and years and years. I'm going to be looking for more high upside, but I'm looking for also guys that can help Steph Curry right away, hopefully. And so I have them taking Hunter Salas, shooting guard slash small forward out of Wake Forest. I think he's out of Wake Forest. Anyway, Hunter Salas is a 6'5", 180-pound wing. Really can put the ball in the hoop. And if the Warriors are thinking that they're going to make another run, you're just going to need cheap contributors like these guys. They can hopefully help fill a role, especially throughout the season when you're dealing with injuries. Maybe not so much in the playoffs, but at 53, here is the Pistons again. Let's see, this is just their second pick. Yeah. Their first pick, of course, was Alex Saar, the number one pick in the draft. Here at 53, I'm going for high upside. And so I have them taking shooting guard slash small forward Melvin Ejensa. 6'7", 6'8", very good athlete. He's a left-handed player. Very good athlete. Long, has the ability to be a very good defender. Hasn't really shown that yet, but has the athleticism and length to do it. And is again still very young, high upside guy for the Pistons here. Maybe a guy that they leave over in Europe for a year or two, like I said earlier with the Pacers and Pacome Dadiye. 54 here is the Celtics again. They took Coleman Hawkins earlier. Yep, and that's it. Here I have them taking another guy that I think can contribute right away, can give them some depth on the wing, add some shooting, and again, it's going to be very cost controlled for them. I have them taking small forward slash shooting guard Peyton Sanford out of Iowa. Sanford is a shooter. That is his number one skill. Very similar to a guy they already have on the roster, Sam Hauser. When you have a roster built the way the Celtics do, you want to collect these type of guys that can just come in and knock down a shot. Especially if they can do it right off the bench without really warming up. At 55 here is the Lakers. Earlier, the Lakers took Zach Edey. Here I have them hopefully adding a guy that I think can contribute to them right away. I don't think he needs to spend a whole lot of time in the G League. I think he can come in and right away be their backup point guard to D'Angelo Russell, especially if they were to trade Gabe Vincent away. I have them taking KJ Simpson, point guard out of Colorado. KJ is just a very smart point guard, very good field general. Puts guys in the position they need to be to succeed. And I think as a guy that could probably this year be helpful to the Lakers right now in the playoffs. But he is only 6'1". That's the biggest reason he's down right where he is. If he was 6'4", he'd probably be a first-round pick, no problem. At pick 56 is the Nuggets again. I had them taking Keyshawn George earlier out of Miami. Here they are taking a guy that might be able to contribute right away, but doesn't have... excuse me. I don't believe has the same potential that a guy like Keyshawn George does. But I have the Nuggets taking Antonio Reeves, shooting guard out of Kentucky. About 6'6", 180. Can really put the ball in the hoop. Averaged 22 points a game this year for Kentucky. Shot on, you know, and he did it on good efficiency. I just don't know if he really has the same type of potential that a guy like Keyshawn George does. And that's why he's later in this draft here. But I think it would be another solid add for the Nuggets as they look to add cheap contributors to help their very expensive starting five. At 57 here is the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies took Cam Jones earlier at 39 and Donovan Clingan at 7. Here I have them adding some more point guard depth, and I think a guy that would do, it'd be really good for him to learn from a guy like Marcus Smart. I have them taking Reese Beekman, point guard out of Virginia. Problem with Beekman is he's only about 6'2". And he's not a great shooter, but he's a fighter on the defensive end. He gets after it. And he's a guy that can put the other players in a position they need to be successful. He's done a really good job at Virginia of leading that team. And so this late in the draft, I think this is just a solid pickup of a guy to that hopefully can be your backup point guard in the future. And finally, the last pick in this draft, usually there's 60 picks in the draft, but the Suns and the 76ers both forfeited picks for going after free agents before you are legally allowed to do so. And so 58 here belongs to the Mavericks. The Mavericks have one of the best players in the league in Luka. They have an amazing guard playing right next to him in Kyrie Irving. It looks like their center rotation is pretty well figured out with Daniel Gafford and Derek Lively. And so they're really just looking for guys on the wing that can contribute, that can knock down shots. You know, this late in the draft, you're not going to find guys that can knock down shots and can really defend. They're just not going to find it. And so I went more offense-based here because they have added a lot of good defenders through free agency. So I have them taking Baylor Shireman, small forward slash power forward, out of Creighton. Are we from Creighton? He might be from Drake. Anyway, Baylor Shireman is a fantastic shooter. You know, 6'8", 215, very Duncan Robinson-like. But like Duncan Robinson, is not going to help you a ton on the defensive end. He has length, you know, which is helpful, but can really just shoot the ball. And that's something that the Mavericks will be looking to add to make Luka Doncic's life even easier. That's it. That is Mock Draft 1.0. Thank you so much for listening again. I promise I will be getting more episodes out. And I'll keep you updated on what's going on in the NBA and going on, especially with the Jazz, as we get heading on into the offseason, as we work our way through the playoffs here. Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a great day, and bye!